Hey everybody, thanks for joining us today on Code Chat. I'm your host, Jeremy Foster, aka Code Foster, and you can find me online at codefoster.com or on Twitter at Code Foster. And with me today is Josh Williams. Josh, thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about a topic that is, all the topics on Code Chat are about code, but this one's near and dear to my heart because this one is JavaScript, WinJS.
We love JavaScript here. Definitely love JavaScript.
Yeah, so this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
So I've got some questions for you.
Sure.
I'm going to rake you over the coals here. I'm going to ask you, grill you with all kinds of questions about JavaScript, WinJS, stuff like that.
I'll happily tell you everything I know.
Can you handle it?
I can handle it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started.
Great.
First of all, WinJS is a JavaScript library, right?
We are.
How does it stack up? Everybody's familiar with all the JavaScript libraries. How does it stack up with the other JavaScript libraries?
Well, so the way I think about it is that WinJS kind of has two major components to it. One of the pieces that we have is kind of a SPA architecture. So for those who are familiar, single-page applications are kind of the pattern that we picked to go with when we were building a native HTML app platform for Windows. And so as part of that, we needed to enable both our first-party app partners as well as third-party developers to go build basic apps of that style. And so we needed to provide things like data binding, we needed to provide things like fragment loading and navigation, and promises, a whole bunch of kind of infrastructure-y components there. And that overlaps pretty strongly with a lot of things out there like Ember and Angular. Some of those have more of a prescriptive mechanism to go and build your app. We're very much, kind of loosely connected toolkits where we said, okay, here's just a set of tools. You can put them together how you'd like, and here's some patterns, some ways you can put them together. Because we really, at the time, weren't quite sure. I mean, this was 4 or 5 years ago when we started this. We weren't quite sure how people were going to use it. And so now it's kind of interesting because we went and built those loosely connected toolkits and then built on top of them the other half of WinJS, which is a bunch of user interface controls that are doing like high quality touch user interface that's very fast on low-end devices, it's the case now that you can take those user interface controls and use them with other frameworks, which is something we're really happy about. Like that decision to not couple a really strongly prescriptive app model means that you can go and take our list view control, which is our virtualizing list control with drag and drop, selection, all that kind of stuff, and you can go use it inside of an AngularJS app, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And if we had gone and prescribed a really strong sense of how to declaratively instantiate those things, that wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
But instead, we just said, hey man, a control's a constructor, and it turned out I could write a shim for Angular in a few hundred lines of code. And you can go to GitHub and find it, and you can use Angular apps with WinJS today. So I like to think that while there are some parts of WinJS that are kind of, competitive in that space, our real focus has been on great user experience on relatively low-end devices, and that we're working hard to make sure you can use everywhere with all kinds of different toolkits, and so we're really complementary in that regard.
Okay, so you're saying that there's a bit of overlap with some of the, as far as the functionality with the other libraries, but it plays really well with the other libraries, so there's a lot of modularity.
We're very much working on it. I mean, one of the canonical pieces of overlap we have is promises, for instance. So, when we were starting with our app model 4 or 5 years ago, promises were the thing that we chose to go implement asynchrony within our app model because we have a super asynchronous app model. And at the time, there was this emerging standard called Promises A that had like one or two implementations out there, and we chose to just jump on board and go with it as well. And since then, now it's become part of the JavaScript standard and is being standardized and put in the browsers. And so we're really happy that we chose the right horse. But in that regard, because we're compatible with that, a lot of other libraries and us are just compatible out of the box, all of our asynchrony. And so that worked out really well.
Yeah. Yeah, and now there's about 100,000 different promise libraries that exist.
We're just one of many. the way I talk about it is we're not really adding anything to our promise library now. Like our promise library has been done. We haven't even fixed a bug in it in years, and we're just kind of waiting for the browsers to come along with promises, at which point we'll deprecate it and move on. To me, that's not a core value add of WinJS is to provide promises. That's a great thing for the browsers to provide. But in the meantime, we have the thing, and it works great.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now WinJS has a little bit of everything, it seems like. It's got some templating, and it's got some SPA, it's got some utilities, and of course there's a whole suite of UI controls.
Yes.
Is WinJS kind of trying to do everything?
A little bit. You know, to be perfectly frank, one of the things that we had as a requirement for WinJS was that these first-party apps, these Microsoft apps, could use us to build everything they needed to build. Mm-hmm. And so there is a piece of WinJS, which is if some set of apps, more than one, needed to do something, we said, great, let's do it in a common place and make it so third parties can do it too and put it in there. And so there is some amount of kind of randomness to some degree of what's in the library.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're working on right now as part of open sourcing WinJS and making it more available to the web is modularizing WinJS and making it so that the fact that we developed WinJS as a set of disconnected toolkits means that it's very easy to use those things independently. But today we only distribute WinJS as one big file.
Yeah.
And we're trying to work on fixing that. At which point you'll be able to say, okay, great, like if I need a rating control, which is a cool little scrubbable star thing or chili peppers or whatever you want it to be, then you can go do that. If you only need a list, you can go do that. If it turns out you only want our promises, you can go do that too.
Okay. So the plan is to break it up more.
Yeah, and in fact, we're actively working on it. In fact, you know, one of the things that we did a while back is we open sourced WinJS. And so if you go up to GitHub now, you can find WinJS. We're under the WinJS organization, the WinJS project, a little redundant, but that's the way it works. And so here you can see that we have, you know, almost getting on to 1,800 commits since we've been public. We basically took our existing 4 years of code base and ported it from our internal source control and testing systems to this. And one of the cool things that you can see is we're in the middle of modularizing WinJS. So if you actually go into our source directory and you look, what you'll find now, this used to be kind of just a random assortment of various kind of files. But now it's full of actual, these are AMD modules. And so, like, you know, now you can take binding as a thing, or you can take navigation as a thing.
They're
or
what kind of modules did you say?
Asynchronous module.
Asynchronous modules, okay.
AMD, RequireJS is kind of the popular framework that implements it. And so what we do now at build time is we use Require's optimizer to go build WinJS using dependencies. And so actually, if you go back a page here, you'll see, like, we have a file called base that we ship.
Right.
And here's the definition of base now.
It's
just include a bunch of modules.
Yeah.
And then the dependency walker includes all their dependencies. And then you can say, okay, well, what's UI look like? Well, here's what UI looks like. It's more modules.
Include a bunch of dependencies.
And then right now we have a single file build, which includes everything. And one of the cool things that you can do is you could say, if you wanted to, we don't have an example here, but if you wanted to and you just wanted to build promises, you could come in and you could make your own custom build that would build WinJS/promise and it would include only what promise required and nothing else.
I see.
And so, like, one of the things that we've been looking into as we do this is how small could WinJS be versus how big is it today? One of the things that we want to do, we've noticed that WinJS is larger than we'd like it to be. I mean, it has a lot of functionality, great stuff, it's worth it. But if you only need one component, what do we need? What can we give you? And so, like, for instance, we were doing an experiment recently where we went and we built a custom WinJS with just the app bar in it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything the app bar required. So it turns out the app bar is built on top of a thing called Overlay, which handles all the light dismiss stuff. And for those who aren't familiar, an app
Overlay,
bar...
Overlay, is that a WinJS concept?
That's a WinJS concept.
Okay.
But, you know, for those who aren't familiar, this thing down here is an app bar.
Yeah.
It's kind of that thing that comes in from off screen.
Yeah.
It provides commanding surfaces and things like that. It has this functionality called light dismiss, which is when you tap somewhere else, it goes away.
Yeah.
It turns out that you have to, like, control the keyboard, a whole bunch of complicated stuff.
Yeah, don't you have to put a div everywhere else on the screen so that if they touch it?
Yes, we call it the click-eating div.
Click-eating div, yep.
And you'll find that in the DOM. And so anyway, if you go build that thing, and the subset of WinJS that it depends on, which includes promises and our thing called the scheduler and everything else, you know, you can go minify and gzip that, and it's smaller than jQuery, which, you know, maybe isn't like a huge you know, thing to celebrate, but at the same time, compared to how big WinJS is by default, that's a huge thing to celebrate. Like, we're now at the point where you could imagine doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know if that answered your question about modularity.
Totally. And kind of a follow-on, just to clarify, you're saying that, I was going to ask you if WinJS is heavy or light, and what you're saying is that if you get all of WinJS together as it ships today, it's on the heavier side.
I think we're on the heavier side. That is definitely true.
But the course is to make it heavy or light, depending on what you need.
Well, so there's two sides of it. One is that we are working hard to make it lighter.
Okay.
Just across the board.
Yeah.
But in lieu of that, in the meantime, given the functionality that we have, we do believe that for any given piece of functionality, we do provide a lot of value.
Yeah.
And so we want to make it the case that if you only need certain functionality, you only have to pay for that certain functionality.
Yeah, right.
And so we want to make it easy for you to have a custom version of WinJS that only has the stuff you need.
Yeah.
And we're working hard to do that.
It seems to me like you're doing it the right way, because I know that for libraries that I've used before, like jQuery UI, the way that they implemented the modularity is I go to the website and I check a few boxes and then it downloads a custom file with only the pieces that I want. And that doesn't feel as right to me as a developer as going into, you know, using the AMD module pattern, going into a file and declaring in code. I want to write it in code, right?
Well, don't get me wrong. There is a PM, at least one PM on my team who'd like to provide that website to people. But that is kind of the old school way of doing it. And, you know, modules, I mean, the funny thing is that WinJS has been around for 4 or 5 years now, and, you know, internally for a number of years, quietly, and then now publicly for a few years. And lots of things have emerged as that time has passed. Mm-hmm. And so if we were to do it again, there's lots of things we'd do differently.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we would have done modules from the beginning, of course, no brainer. But, you know, they didn't gain popularity until later, and we were kind of like, well, we had a tension there. We didn't want to like come up with too many new patterns or jump on the patterns that people didn't want to use.
Right.
And so, you know, I look at the jQuery thing and like that's from a time before modules. It made total sense. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the way we want it to be is that you can npm, you know, have an npm package dependency on the WinJS package, and then in your build, you can just say, I just want this module, and you get what you get.
Yeah.
And that to me seems like a really good way to move people forward with getting exactly what they need. You know, there's some composability questions that you have to answer there. Like, what if you want to have, you know, one version of WinJS and one version of something else that also has a version of WinJS?
Yeah.
And we'll work on those.
Yeah. But one of the, I don't know, trends or patterns that I've seen, and I'm sure a lot of other folks that are using and consuming WinJS and building Windows apps with these tools have seen, is that Microsoft obviously has this very rich UI language called XAML. And behind it, we've got a very powerful programming language called C#. And when we, as Microsoft, say, we're going to provide both of these language paths for developers for creating apps for both Windows and Windows Phone, we're going to have some parity, some level of parity. So some of the things that we see in our Trident engine and in our WinJS library and so on are implementing things that exist in the other frameworks. So for instance, the grids.
Yes.
That we see, you know, XAML obviously has a very rich gridding layout functionality.
Yes.
And then we say, well, we've got to bring that into the JavaScript language stack as well.
That's true. That's true. And you know, it's interesting. Both teams actually, in the Windows 8.1 timeframe, for instance, both teams actually reported the same dev manager.
Mm-hmm.
So my
That's
boss
good.
Was the same as all the XAML guys.
Good.
And you know, we were all working together to make sure that people who were building apps on Windows were not confronted with having to make a language choice based on capabilities.
Yeah.
You know, I think there has been some confusion about, you know, what Microsoft was trying to push, but I think at the end of the day, we're trying to enable developers.
Yeah,
like, there's
right.
just lots of developers all over the world that know lots of different things.
Yeah.
And we want to tell, you know, hey, come here and this will feel like home to you to some degree.
Yeah.
You know, clearly we've had a lot of things to push through. We've had, you know, we have some interop issues to get, you know, taken care of in the HTML space, but generally speaking, our hope is that people can come here with native HTML skills, and then they can, you know, bridge into a native app with those.
Yeah.
So
I've had a lot of experience with community developers that weren't familiar at all with our XAML stack, but they had been doing a lot of web development. That was their space. They knew their JavaScript. They knew their HTML. And then we start in on an app that's written in HTML and JavaScript in Windows, and boy, they're up and running in an hour. I mean, they're ready to go because it's exactly the standards. It's exactly what they're used to writing.
That is the best part about the platform we've built. And I think we've done a really good job of building that platform for people. And we're going to keep on pushing it forward.
That's the experience we're hoping for, huh?
That is the experience we're hoping for. I would love it if every web developer in the world just was willing to put their toe in the water and said, wow, this just works like I expect.
Yeah.
Like, I put a div on the screen and I get a div on the screen.
Yeah.
So
at events, I like to bring up the project template and show default.html and say, ladies and gentlemen, this is standard HTML5.
Yes.
There is not a proprietary bit on the screen.
Yeah, it turns out that one of the interesting debates that we had early on was, should WinJS and what it is, the WinJS library, just be included by default? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that WinJS brings to the table is our styling. Mm-hmm. And our styling includes a bunch of things for the modern look and feel. It includes, like, you know, the default font, setting it to Sago UI, which is kind of the Windows font.
Right.
It includes things like setting the body not to be scrollable and have no padding and no margins, so it really feels like an app. It includes things like turning off text selection for text areas because, you know, it's weird in an app to be able to select labels. But we debated putting that into the platform. We said, oh, well, maybe the platform should just work that way. When you open up, that's just what you get.
I see.
And we decided that we really didn't want to do that because that felt too much like deviating from a standard HTML environment. We really wanted to say, you know, you should make a choice. Now, we're going to advocate, like, the set of patterns that come with WinJS or what we believe is kind of a good way to write an app. Mm-hmm. But we want to give you that raw thing. If you don't want to use it, great. Like, go build the thing you want to build.
Yeah.
So.
That's excellent. It seems, again, it seems like that's the right way to do it.
We're working on it.
So you were showing us GitHub.
Yes.
WinJS is completely open source.
WinJS is open source.
How's that going?
It's going great. The team here at Microsoft has been working hard. Same set of guys. You know, mostly guys. There's a couple women on the team too, sorry. same set of people, same set of folks that are working on it, that were working on it before.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to GitHub now, you can see our commits. We're just checking in. What we're actively working on right now is making sure that WinJS runs great cross-browser.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that we're aiming for, and when we open sourced WinJS, one of the interesting parts of our announcement was that we said, hey, we are open sourcing it today. Excuse me. We're aiming for cross-platform, cross-browser, but we're not there yet.
Cool.
As opposed to, one of the things that we debated was, oh, well, we could just go finish that work and then open source it.
Yeah.
But we wanted to really have people be able to be part of the process, be able to be part of the conversation. And we thought, as soon as we decided to open source it, we might as well just do it immediately. Let's just do it and do the rest of it in the open. And so now you can go up there and you can watch us working on it and you can go file an issue. In fact, you know, one of the things that I have enjoyed the most about working in open source is we've been getting some number of pull requests, which are great, but I actually enjoy even more than the pull requests the fact that we're having great conversations with the community and the issues. You know, now people who are building WinJS apps can come file a bug and then have a conversation with the actual team.
That's great.
And I know Microsoft's been trying to do that for a while. Yeah. We have some mechanisms to do that with our internal bug databases and external things. But this is truly like, we have triage a few times a week and we're in a room and we like, oh, this guy has a question. Let's have a conversation about it. It's awesome.
Amazing.
And so, like,
that's GitHub that's enabling that, huh?
Well, it's just the fact that we're open. I mean, we could be doing this on other
sites too, but
it's the fact that we're open. And so if you go look, there's a you know, kind question, for instance, and here's like a set of open things that we've deemed, we're not sure these are bugs.
Mm-hmm.
They're just conversations that we're having. And, you know, a lot of times they end up being, we're helping an app author figure out an issue in their app, but it's great to have that conversation and that ability. I love it. One of the cool things that we've tried to do is make it really clear to people that we're working on stuff.
Yeah.
And so we have this page that you can get to via link. I'm just going to type it in, called our test status page. Mm-hmm. And so one of the cool things you can see is we actually use a technology called Sauce Labs, a company called Sauce Labs, to run our unit tests. And so on every GitHub commit, we run unit tests. And here's what you can see, our unit tests, and, you know, green is passing, yellow's less than 5% failing, or less than 5 failing, I think, and red is more than 5 failing. And you can see we're running them on IE 11, 10, OS 10, Safari, Windows 8, Firefox, Chrome, and iPhone.
Okay.
And so we've been trying to be, like, really clear, like, here's the set of things that are running, here's the set of things that have problems, we're working on it, and even here's the set of bugs that are currently opened against these broken unit tests.
Wow, that's great.
And so it's been really fun to, you know, we've always had technologies like this behind the scenes. Like, you know, our engineering system has always had various scorecards and things like that. For me, it's neat to be able just to point people in the community and say, oh, well, here's our scorecard. Like, here's our issue database. Like, feel free to help. Like,
that's
submit
excellent.
A pull request.
That feels good as a developer. How do you get to that status page? I saw that you just typed it in with the URL.
So you can get to the status page a couple ways. One of the way is from the homepage of our GitHub at the bottom, there's a test status. That's the easiest way.
Okay, excellent. And you can also get to the try build WinJS. Let me just throw you a softball here. Do we have a site where we can try this stuff all out?
So it turns out that a number of the kind of open source, JavaScript libraries in the community had done this really cool thing. And the one I'd like to talk about the most is Knockout. Knockout has this beautiful site where you can go and play with it.
Yeah.
And so when we saw that and when we were talking about going open source, we were asking ourselves, what would be a good example thing that we could build a website of that would show off WinJS and help people understand what it was capable of? And someone on the team said, we should build one of those.
Yeah.
And I instantly said, I'll fund that. That sounds awesome. and so we did. And we built one of those. And so here's our version of that. Inside of our version of that, we have a whole bunch of scenarios. So you can see kind of like meta scenarios on the side, like animations or app bar or list view. And then within a given thing, there's a set of them. Like here's a simple list view scenario. And so here you can actually go and use a list view. And then there's editors. So you can go in here, and this is what's called the Monaco editor, which is the same text editor that's currently being used on like OneDrive and on Visual Studio Online and things like that. It's the Microsoft-built text editor for the web.
It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, if you go in here, one of the cool things is in our JavaScript editor, you can go and edit this and change the data, right?
Yeah.
And of course, it has language services. And so we have a D.ts. If you want to develop in TypeScript against WinJS, we have a type description of it.
Okay.
And that is used to provide language services. So here you can see like, it's not scrolling well, but here you can see like, even type information.
Yeah.
Like it'll tell you all kinds of interesting stuff here. Even like strings and all kinds of stuff. So that's pretty cool. It's almost in some ways better than Visual Studio. I mean, sorry, not supposed to say that, but you know what I mean. And so like one of the cool things you can do is you can go in here and you can just change things. So like, let's go change this. Right now it's a list layout.
Okay.
And let's make it go horizontal instead of vertical. So all we have to do is we say orientation horizontal, and we can hope that I type it right. And what do you know? Now you have a horizontal list. And so you can go into all of these scenarios and go play with them.
Can you lay that out as a grid for us?
You could. So let's go in here. It may not look super pretty because I may have to go change my item template to make it look really pretty, but let's see what it does anyway. So we'll just change this to a grid layout. Hey,
there we
it worked.
Go. Hey, it looks super pretty too.
It actually looks relatively pretty as far as fruit goes. But so the list view that we have has all kinds of cool functionality. I talked earlier about how kind of UX is our bread and butter. And so one of the things that we have, for instance, is drag and drop. And so, that's pretty cool.
That's
you can
amazing.
Go do drag and drop. And it turns out that works great in Chrome too.
Okay. Can we see it in Chrome?
It doesn't work in Touch today, but we're working on it. Sure, let's go see it in Chrome. Where's my desktop? Let's go try. We'll load it up in Chrome here. The unfortunate side of that language services is it actually takes a long time to download the D.ts.
Yeah.
That is one thing we're working on, delay loading.
Well, it also takes a long time to install Visual Studio.
It's much shorter than that. So in any case, so here it is in Chrome. Here I'm going to go use my trackpad, and I'm going to drag and drop.
Awesome.
And that all works in Chrome.
That's really amazing.
Here's a grid layout, or here's a group layout working in Chrome.
And that in combination with the Monaco editor, it starts to kind of feel a little bit like magic. When I'm just in my browser and I'm all of a sudden editing code and watching it run.
It's amazing.
It feels great.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
Super duper cool.
I know. Do you ever use CodePen?
Mm-mm.
CodePen.io is kind of like JS Fiddle. You've probably
heard
of JS Fiddle. CodePen is a little bit more polished, a little bit prettier. A little bit more functional in ways, but it's one of those things that just kind of feels like magic. You know, you're pulling in your dependencies, you kind of build the whole thing.
Well, one of the things that we've wanted to do on here is enable you to send repos, bug repos
to
us from here. Like, go edit it and then say, send this to us.
Yeah.
We haven't quite got it down yet. What we do have is you can go in here and say, open an issue, and one of the nice things is it'll go straight to GitHub. And apparently wants to log me in. I won't do that right now. But it pre-populates it with like what page you were on, so we know it was a list view, and like what browser you were in, so we know you were seeing a bug in that browser, and things like that. There's also a playground on the site. If you do want to just go play with random stuff, you can always go in here, and here's a simple playground you can use on the internet to go play with stuff.
I see I think this is an accordion control on the left. Is that right?
On the left, we have what's called a repeater. We don't have a proper control that does this thing on the left. This is just, standard HTML. It's just a styled div that inside of it has a repeater that's scrollable. And then we put a bunch of items that we rendered inside.
But the repeater is a WinJS.
The repeater is a WinJS concept. So we have two list controls.
Mm-hmm.
One is the list view, which is a super high policy control, which gives you things like drag and drop and virtualization. It gives you things like selection.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff like that, grouping, grids. Repeater just says, take some DOM and repeat it.
Yeah.
And you apply your own styling. It gives you events for when things change, so that if you wanted to wire in animations, you could. But it's much more of a low policy, you know, just get things done
kind
of control.
Right.
You know, we have lots of different controls that span lots of different usage. We have tooltips and the ratings control I alluded to earlier. So, like, here's a simple little ratings control. One of these is editable. Yeah, there. You can see me kind of changing the rating. You know, these are all controls that we have. We have various app bars and animations and flip views so that you can flip between images and all kinds of stuff like that.
One of the things that's kind of impressive about WinJS, it feels like the functionality that is the result, like what you're getting, it feels like a proprietary experience. It certainly feels like a native experience, but it also feels like a proprietary experience, and it's surprising to go look at the code behind it and see everything's in a data dash, everything's using a standard JavaScript pattern.
Well, so there's two sides to that. One of the things is that we tried really hard to provide a native experience. And when I use the word native, it's not the same way some people use the word native, and that gets me into trouble with some people, especially here at the Soft. But when I talk about native, what it is, from my perspective, is the user doesn't care what your app was written in.
Yeah.
Like, your app could be written in Lisp. You could have found a way to write an Objective-C app for Windows. Like, who knows? Who cares? As long as your app looks great and feels like the system, or feels good and high polish and fast, that's a native app to the user. And, you know, you can debate even feeling exactly like the system. That's not necessarily for a native app, because there's plenty of apps that have like unique look and feel. But what makes them feel native is they feel seamless and polished and everything else. And so WinJS has tried really hard to provide that level of seamless polish. But as you alluded to, we tried to do it in a very standards compliant way. Now, there's a few things as we went open source. You can go back through our check-in list and see some of the changes we had to make where we kind of jumped on board of early emerging standards that didn't quite make it to the finish line all the way yet. And so, like, CSS Grid was one that we used heavily, that we went and implemented in IE, but is only in experimental mode in Chrome and Firefox right now. And so, you know, that still continues plodding along. But in the meantime, we went and just used Flexbox to replace it all, because we want to be, you know, cross-browser now. And then there's a few places in WinJS where you'll find native WinRT calls. All of those have an alternative path as well. Kind of the canonical example of that is the app bar itself. And so the app bar, the thing that comes up from the bottom, that has this, you know, here's an app. It has an app bar and a nav bar. It has this functionality, which is what we call edgy, which is when you swipe in from the edge of the screen. That's provided by the system. The system fires an event. And so when you're in the local context of a Windows web app, we wire up to that event so the app bar shows itself on edgy.
One of the examples that I was just having a conversation with on my blog the other day was the resources. So the resources, there's actually a post on my blog recently where I was saying, here's how to go into WinRT and pull out the system resources so that you can, for instance, localize a string, not just declaratively in your HTML, which is pretty straightforward, but imperatively with the JavaScript code, so that you can go in and say, find me this string and inject that here. And it's a number of lines of code to go get the resource manager and to do all this stuff. But then with WinJS, it's something like WinJS resources,
get
the string, there it is, you know, bam. So that's surfacing some
Native
functionality in a very easy way.
Yeah, there's a few places where we wrapped some native functionality to surface it a little easier. Another example is the app model around activation and suspension, where we have a slightly easier wrapper to use.
And those are obvious. It's obvious that I'm not going to be able to do those native things unless I'm sitting on top of a Windows machine, right?
Yep.
So can you tell me a little bit about the versions of WinJS? I've seen different version numbers on phone and Windows and the websites.
So today WinJS is versioned with we put the number in the name. And so like there was version 1.0, which was the version of WinJS that we shipped with Windows 8. And then there was version WinJS 2.0, which is the version that we shipped with Windows 8.1. We just recently shipped a version of WinJS with the Windows Phone.
Okay.
And that was version Windows Phone, Microsoft.phone.winjs 2.1. Okay. Interestingly, there's one called Microsoft.xbox.winjs.1.0. So if you if you have an Xbox One at home and you go log in, you're using WinJS. They have lots of their apps on the home screen are written using our technology. We're working on merging those back in. So we kind of have the three forks today, the main line and the phone and the Xbox.
Okay.
And for various timing reasons, we had to kind of fork them and make some point-wise decisions. But over time, the goal is to bring them all back into one main code base that's shared standard so that you can write universal apps that span everything.
Okay.
And even today, we've given you the ability, if you go into Visual Studio, they give you some tooling that helps you write a universal app, even though you're just two different versions,
because
we kept the API surface for the common stuff the same and things like that. But we're definitely working hard on that. And you can see that happening on GitHub today. So for instance, the pivot control, which is a new control that we introduced in WinJS for the phone, is now in the mainline build on GitHub. We're going to continue versioning WinJS, with a version number. And so like our next version of WinJS will likely be WinJS 3.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't decided yet, but we're going to just keep on doing that.
Yeah. So you mentioned Windows, Windows Phone, and Xbox. What about the public web version?
We're going to try to keep them kind of in sync.
Okay.
Our goal is to have one code base that is shared across them all.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that code base may have a few ifs here and there, or there may be a style sheet that you can say, okay, you can choose a couple different style sheets because it may be that you know the Xbox designers, they want bigger fonts because they're on a TV or something like that. But generally speaking, you know, we aim to have all the same code that's being able to run everywhere. And then as we talked about earlier with modularization, you should be able to pare that down to just the code you need.
Hey, can you show us some apps that have been written using WinJS?
In fact, I conveniently have a whole section. There's a lot of apps that are written with WinJS, but I have a little section of them here. So here's some examples. The finance app that was written by Microsoft, the music app and the store app. Tweetium, which is my favorite Twitter client for both Windows Phone now that it's out in beta for Windows Phone 8.1 and then for Windows 8. Skype, the news app, Discourse, which is my favorite news reading app. So let's go look at one or two of them.
Yes.
So here's the finance app. This was written by the Bing guys.
Okay.
And this shows an example of what we call our hub control, where you know you have kind of what they call a hero image, which is kind of like a full bleed image with some overlaid stuff on it. And then as you're panning to the right, you have various hub sections and you can drill into hub sections and come out. You can see here we have like drag and drop, which is pretty cool. I can do it with my finger. You can't really see my finger. I didn't draw on touch points, sorry. Another app that we have is the music app. I'm an Xbox Music user. I love Xbox Music. And so, you know, I love the fact that I pay $10 a month or $5 a month or whatever it is these days, and I never have to worry about music anymore.
Yeah,
so I use this all the time, start some music.
If someone recommends an album, you could just go download it and listen to it. I love that.
You know, I listen to KEXP on my way to work usually, and I'll hear some artist I've never heard of before, and I'll go to work, and there's zero opportunity cost to just saying, I'm going to listen to their whole collection.
Yep.
And if half an hour in it turns out I don't like it, then I'm done.
Perfect.
Maybe I found a new favorite artist. I think it's pretty cool. Discourse is a cool app. This is written by a friend of mine. Unfortunately, it's not available in the store anymore, but I still think it's a super cool app for news reading. And so what he does is he kind of paginates various news feeds, and you can share them with all the text in it, with the images, and it does a really good job of doing news reading. Tweetium's my favorite Twitter app, and I can show you here, I just got on the Tweetium beta for using Tweetium for my Windows Phone 8.1, and here's Tweetium for Windows Phone 8.1. It's same kind of interface. For my money, better than Twitter app. I'm just saying.
Do you find kind of some shared scenarios or profile data?
The guy who's doing it is doing a great job. So like everything's shared. Like if I go change my theme in one, he uses roaming settings, which is a Windows provided feature, and so he doesn't even have to do any work. And the next time I start up this, it's change theme, that kind of stuff. And so it is kind of one of those cases where he could focus on writing a great HTML app, which this could run in a browser, but then he can light it up with all kinds of cool functionality on top of Windows, like the ability to roam stuff, and he never has to worry about roaming, and all of a sudden it just lights up everywhere, which is pretty dang cool.
Yeah.
What else we got here? News app, Skype. You know, a lot of people are surprised that Skype is written as an HTML app.
Right.
Turns out Skype's written as an HTML app. My sister and my nephew live in Amsterdam, so we Skype a lot with our kids.
Perfect. that's the right scenario for Skype. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, lots of apps in the store written in WinJS. Lots of great apps.
Yeah. What about the video app?
So the video app, you'll find Dinosaur Train on there because I have a 4-year-old, and he just got back from a trip to New York, so we have downloaded all 4 seasons.
Perfect.
We could watch some Dinosaur Train if you'd like. But I love the video app because I'm a big user of Xbox movies.
Yeah.
I've kind of stopped renting movies, haven't we all? And I use Netflix some, but more often than not, I just go into Xbox and rent a movie. The video app's pretty cool because you can go in and see, here's a movie. Some of the movies that are a little older will show you things like Rotten Tomatoes. Like you can just go in here and they have right in line the Rotten Tomato meter and various reviews. You can go buy it, you can rent it.
Now, this may be, actually, I'm coincidentally using the word divergent here. This may be a little bit of a divergent topic, but do you know anything about the streaming and through JavaScript and HTML? This is a video app. We've got video coming right through it. Do you know anything about that?
I don't personally. I'm not involved in the coding stuff, but I believe its case is just a straight HTML5 video tag. You know, nothing super fancy about it.
But that's impressive these days. It really is.
I'm not impressed by it anymore. No. Like, this has been common for a little while. I think it's great.
You.
Yeah, it's old hat.
I'm still impressed with it because I still feel the pain of trying to implement media solutions over the web.
I will agree with that. But I think it's super cool that now you kind of don't have to be impressed. Like, you can go in and you're like, oh, I got video. Sweet. Like, put a video tag
super
in.
Simple.
I want to overlay some stuff on the top. Like, ads, great. Overlay ads on the top.
I guess it was my 75th time of looking up the parameters for an embed tag and figuring out how to make it compatible with Flash. It was something like that.
I haven't written an embed tag in who knows how long.
Can you tell us anything about what's next for WinJS? What's down the pipe? I know this is an open project. There's some ways in which we can be completely open with what's coming.
Well, so, the thing that we can say for sure, like if you go to WinJS, you go to our GitHub, one of the cool things you can find on GitHub, WinJS, we'll go here. One of the cool things that we have is we have a roadmap for WinJS, and it's on our wiki. And assuming we can navigate, we can go to our roadmap, and we're trying to keep our roadmap relatively up to date. And I don't know why that is some kind of horrible.
That renders fine there.
Okay, there we go. And we're trying to keep our roadmap relatively up to date. And we're kind of in the stage of our roadmap right now, which is we're really working hard on trying to get our desktop and mobile browsers working great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got my team back in Building 50 here at Microsoft, as I walked down the hall this morning, was all using iPads and Android devices and fixing bugs. We have a whole bunch of bugs you can go find marked with iOS and whatever, and just trying to get us to that level of high polish that we think is kind of the thing that we provide and therefore our min bar.
Yeah, right.
And we're working hard on that, and that's kind of where we're working on right now. And I would anticipate in the next couple months, at some point, we'll just draw a line in the sand and say, great, this is the thing that you can first really start using. I mean, you can go to GitHub today and you can go build it. It just uses Grunt, standard build technologies, and you can go use it. But, you're going to run into some bugs here and there. We've been actively working on it, and that happens. After that, we're going to go off into the future, and we have more and more things that we're interested in pursuing that we're being less and less specific about. But you can count on the fact that as we go into the future, one of the things that we're definitely going to have is new UI controls. That is our bread and butter. And the designers here at Microsoft are heavily, fighting right now amongst themselves about what all the new UI controls look like. And there's very fascinating stuff coming out there. And as that starts, solidifying, we'll definitely be doing work in that space.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue doing performance work and cross-browser work. One of the things that we're going to do is right now we actually have a number of these. We have a number of. I think I can type in here. A number of. A number of shims that exist for using WinJS with other libraries.
Okay.
And so one of the things that we have is this Angular WinJS shim that I talked about earlier a little bit. And this particular shim I wrote. But we want to have a few more of these to make it really easy to use WinJS inside the context of other libraries.
Yeah,
like today, you can do it, but it's some amount of work.
Okay.
If you go use a shim like this, it just works perfectly. And so like here's a case where you see something, it looks very much like WinJS. It's got a list view, it's got ratings controls, because those are our favorite things to talk about. But then if you go look at the code behind, it looks like Angular.
Yeah.
It's got a scope, it's got a controller. You go look at the HTML, and it's full of directives and data binding that looks just like Angular. And and to me, one of the things I really want to push on for WinJS is to enable people to have that high polish UI within an app they already have.
Yeah, right.
And say, hey man, if you're using something already for your list solutions, you could consider using a WinJS list view and just throw it on top if you have an Angular project or an Ember project or a Knockout project or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love the data binding solution you already have, great, keep using it.
Yeah.
So we're definitely gonna be working more on that too. And there's a whole bunch of other things that people want to work on. We'll see how much time we have.
Wow, that's super impressive, super exciting. It really is. Like I said, this is my space. I get really excited about this space, but I'm just jazzed about what's coming down the road. I want to point out the Code Show project, if you're not familiar with it already. It's actually under really heavy development right now. It's going to kind of have not really an evolutionary step to the next version, but a little bit of a revolutionary step. The UI won't look incredibly different, but the functionality behind it is going to be pretty different because we're enabling the phone scenarios and some other scenarios there. We have a Microsoft Virtual Academy Jumpstart that's going to be coming out, talking all about that and talking a lot about this space, a lot about the WinJS space. So definitely go to MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com and tune into that. And that will obviously be recorded, so available after the live event as well. So we're kind of running up on time here, but is there anything else that you want to share with us?
No, I just say, hey man, go use our stuff, try it out, file issues, let's have a conversation. You know, if you got a favorite bug you want fixed, go fix it. Issue
favorite
a pull
bug.
Request. We'll take it.
Awesome. That's great. Hey, thank you so much for talking with us today,
Yeah,
Josh.
Thanks for having me.
That's fun. All right. See you guys later. Thanks for tuning into Code Chat. See you next time.
Yeah. I think that went pretty well. We'll be right back.